Good morning. Today is Friday, June 16th, 2023, and the time is 8:30 a.m. I now call this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I will conduct a roll check. Rosie Morris and Hector Cerna have informed me they will not be able to attend the Audit Committee meeting because of conflicts. Finance Commission Chair Philip Holt and Vice Chair Cliff McCauley are attending in their place. Philip Holt, are you present?
Present.
Cliff McCauley, are you
present? I am here.
We have a quorum of the Audit Committee with three members present. If there is anyone wishing to address the Commission, you will need to fill out a witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items to 10 minutes. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on April 21st, 2023. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on April 21, 2023?
Make a motion to approve.
Philip Holt, is there any second?
Second.
Cliff McCauley seconds. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it and the motion passes. We will now move on to item B, and Commissioner Retta, would you please give us your report?
Yes, with respect to the audit committees, Madam Chair, we have the Texas Cybersecurity Framework Assessment, and we will be discussing and presented in executive session. And then the second item that we have is the mortgage examinations. We have received a preliminary audit summary discussed last week. First week in July, we will have the final report, and so we will have that prepared for reporting to the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting in August. And that's the report.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Cooper?
Yes, Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez to present our report.
Good morning, members. Wendy Rodriguez for the Department of Banking. On page 6, you'll find the Department of Banking's audit activities report. There's 4 items listed. As reported at the previous meeting, the corporate activities audit has been completed. Since then, all recommendations have been implemented, which included updating our procedural manuals and instituting weekly meetings for reviewing filings and their statuses. The next item that you'll find is the Comptroller Public Accounts statewide debt audit for dual and multiple employment. There were no findings noted for the department as we do not have any employees with dual or multiple employment. On page 7, you'll find the last 2 items. 2 of those items, well, both of those items are pending. One is the Garza procurement contract and hub audit, which is in the process of being finalized and will be reported at the August meeting. And the second audit is the biennial Texas Cybersecurity Framework Assessment, which will begin on Monday. Any questions? Thank you.
And Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before we turn the page from the Department of Banking, I believe we also were included in that statewide desk audit for dual and multiple employment. We didn't include it in our report, but also had no findings, as we have no employees that are in that posture. On page 8 is the rest of our report, or is our report, and we have the first item is the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund Investment Portfolio Administration Report. You'll hear about that in a few minutes. We are in process on our internal audit related to payroll and human resources. The control penetration test related to our and vulnerability scans that you've heard about, we had the penetration test completed. We had some remediation we were working on, which is almost finished. It should be finished just very, very soon. And the rescan is pending. And then the Texas Cybersecurity Framework Assessment, we've been in interviews and all week related to that and have produced most of almost all of the artifacts and documentation. So we probably will be close to hearing, we should be hearing about that in the August meeting. And we should have our final report by then. And then the last item is pending. It has been on there for quite some time. There's been no additional progress on, or it's in the same status as previous.
Thank you, commissioners. We will now move on to item C, Commissioner Cooper.
I'd like to ask Wendy Rodriguez to talk about our budget timeline for 24.
Okay, members, on page 9, you'll find the tentative timeline for the three agencies that will be following to develop our budget for fiscal year 2024. The timeline is pretty similar to what we've done in the previous years. For the months of June and July, both all agencies will be drafting their budgets to come up with the artifacts for the 24. On August 1st, the budgets will be posted to the website and will be submitted for the Finance Commission members to review. On August 10th, we will be conducting our public hearing for input from the interested parties for our drafted budgets. And on August 18th, the full budgets will be presented for the Finance Commission's review and approval. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you. We will now move on to item D, and Ms. Kimberly Lopez Gonzalez from Garza Gonzalez and Associates will be presenting the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner's audit report this morning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Kim Lopez Gonzalez, representing Garza Gonzalez and Associates, and included in your package, pages 11 through 22, is the internal audit on the TAP Fund Investment Portfolio Administration. We began this audit during April and completed it and submitted a final report to staff on May 22nd to allow us to be here this morning to present the results to you. I'd like to thank Moran Diamond, who is here, the Director of Licensing and Finance, who facilitated the audit and provided all information. I'm sure there were other people involved, but that is our audit contact. And we were able to perform an efficient audit. We were not restricted in any form or fashion, and we were provided with all information that we requested, as I indicated, to perform an efficient audit on this TAP Fund Administration of Investments. Page 13 of the report is our report to you, Commission members, indicating that we did perform the audit of the TAP Fund Investment Portfolio Administration and its compliance with laws and regulations and the established policies and procedures to ensure compliance with those laws and regulations for the 6 months ended February 28, 2023. This audit is performed every other year, so every odd year. And so the last one that was performed was in 21. And so this year in 23 was next audit, the next year that it was required, as required by the county. To be performed. No other body does require this audit, correct? Other than the commission members, so that you can ensure that everything is being done in accordance with those laws and regulations. Page 14 of the report, just to point out that at the bottom there, the 2023 internal audit plan as approved by this body and the Finance Commission on December 16th, 2022, provides that we do perform this audit, along with a payroll and human resources audit, follow-up, and preparation of the 23 internal audit annual report. Just to give you a status of that, we're here this morning to present the results to you of the TAP Fund Investment Portfolio Administration audit, and we are in the process of actually completing our field work for the payroll and human resources and follow-up, so that we can also present the annual report. Actually, I believe at the August meeting, we'll be presenting all annual reports to you for the three agencies. Pages 15 through 17 of the report is titled the Executive Summary. This gives you the background and information related to the administration functions and policies, procedures that are in place at OCCC to ensure compliance with the various laws and regulations. Other than pointing some things out, just wanted to make sure if you look under the OCC investment policy section, that it doesn't require compliance with the Public Funds Investment Act, which is considered a public funds best practice. However, the investment policy is very comparable to that. So this is what we ensure compliance with. We don't follow the Public Funds Investment Act, but it is similar to that. And we do ensure compliance with the laws and regulations that has been established by OCC's investment policy. Page 16 of the of your report also continues with the background and information related to that. At the top, you will see in the second paragraph that the TFE fund is one of the 11 endowment funds managed by TTSTC. That is an organization that was established by the Comptroller of Public Accounts. So it is managed by them, and it is one of the 11 endowment funds. At the bottom of the page, the very last sentence, during the 6 months ended February 28, 23, there's different processes that are followed. So they do manage, there's a cash account at TTST, and then there's an investment fund. So staff at OCCC does manage that to ensure that there's not too much cash on hand, and if there is, if there's transfers to the investment fund. But during the 6 months ended, there were no transfers that were required based on their analysis to be transferred to the investment account. Page 17 of your report does provide you with the TFE fund cash and investment account balances for the first and second quarters. So that gives you the analysis of the cash accounts and the various investments and the types of investments that those amounts are invested in. As you can see there, the largest investment are in long-term alternative investments of $6.4 million first quarter and $6.3 million the second quarter. So that is a large percentage of the total endowment fund amount. The paragraph right under the little table there does indicate that that OCCC did collect TFE funds totaling $305,800 during the 6 months ended February 28, 23. Of that amount, $270,000 was transferred to the TFE fee of the was transferred to the TFE account, and the remaining $27,600 would be included in the next periodic transfer. Right at the bottom, it indicates for the 6 months ended February 28, 23, a total of $78,504 was dispersed to 8 grantees. Moving on, pages 18 through 20 provides the objective, the scope, and the methodology, along with the various policies of procedures that we performed throughout the audit. And you can see there that we did perform a number of procedures to ensure compliance with the policies and procedures and state laws and regulations. And I'm happy to report that we did not find any instances of noncompliance. So you do not have any, there are no indication, no comments or recommendations included in this report. So very positive for the agency, as they have been in previous years. So being compliant with the laws and regulations in accordance with those requirements. Did you want to add anything to that?
We thank Garza Gonzalez and Associates for their work in reviewing this and their prompt and professional responses, and they're great to work with. But I don't have anything else to add.
I might ask just one question. So I see it's for the 6 month period. Is that period, does it change every other year when we do this, or is it always the same 6 months, or do we ever do 12?
We don't usually do 12 because I know that we are requested that we present the annual report by August 31st, so we don't have the opportunity to cover the whole 12 months. If requested, we could look back to the previous year to capture 12 months, if that was requested from the commission.
I was just curious if there was any.
So the period, the coverage could change if that is what the body would request.
Okay.
Thanks. Any other questions?
All right. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioners Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund Investment Portfolio Administration Audit Report as prepared and presented by Garza and Gonzalez Associates?
Motion.
Mouthful.
Awesome. Thanks. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, the ayes have it and the motion passes.
Thank you.
I'll be
you
back in August.
Thanks.
Moving on to item E then, please give us your report, Commissioner Pettiton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're going into the report on the Texas Financial Education Endowment. I'd like to ask Patricia Horde and Christy Graham to come forward and give us a report on the activities, and then we'll move into the two following items from there. Patricia, I think you're leading us off.
Good morning. Patricia Horde, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. First, I want to let you know that we're in the midst of the third semi-annual reporting period for the 2022-2023 grant cycle, and the reports will be due at the end of July. The fourth semi-annual reporting period will run from July 1st through December 31st. And the TP materials were reviewed in May by the Grant Advisory Committee in anticipation of the 2024-2025 grant cycle. You can see in your packet on page 23 a timeline, a projected timeline for the 2024-2025 grant cycle. We anticipate opening the application period in July, with award announcements coming in November and the 2024-2025 grant cycle beginning in January. Do you have any questions on that?
I just might clarify one thing, is we would anticipate bringing the recommendations to the audit committee for selection of grantees in the at the October meeting. So kind of mark that date. Okay.
Thank you.
We're ready to go to the next item.
Item F.
Okay. So for item F, we would like to present revisions to the TP Grant Administration Advisory Policy Manual. Recommendations were submitted to the Grant Advisory Committee for review and comment. These revisions need approval from the Finance Commission, of course. There's a redline version in your packet beginning on page 25, as well as a changes accepted version beginning on page 46. And just to give you kind of a highlight of of the changes, we've updated the section on the Grant Advisory Committee roles and responsibilities to reflect that a replacement will be appointed if a GAC member is unable to fill their duties. We added some text to clarify announcement submission and notification timeframes, as well as information about digital submissions. And we deleted information regarding advance payments because TP is always done on a reimbursement basis. We also did some minor edits regarding grammar and formatting. The Finance Commission sets funding priorities that enable TP to focus their efforts each grant cycle. So for the upcoming 2024-25 grant cycle, staff recommend that the funding priorities remain the same, specifically adult financial education, K-12 financial education, and financial coaching and consumer counseling. Have any questions or comments on that? Not for me. Okay. We would like to recommend that this action, the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner requests that the Audit Committee recommend that the Finance Commission approve the revised TP Grant Administration and Policy Manual and the 2024-2025 funding priorities. Okay.
Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the revised Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund Grant Administration and Advisory Policy Manual and the 2024-2025 funding priorities?
Moved.
Bill Polk, is there a second?
Second.
Cliff McCauley, any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it and the motion passes. Next, we will move on to item G, and please continue.
So I'm Christy Graham, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. I'm going to jump all the way to page 67 in your packet, past the updated manuals. So as Patricia mentioned, as part of agency preparations for the 2024-2025 cycle, agency staff look at fund financials to determine a recommended amount to present to you for approval for the aggregate total grant award for the upcoming cycle. As you are all aware, TP functions as an endowment fund. It invests on a long-term basis to support funding credit access businesses, pay $200 annual assessment into the fund. On the top of page 67, there is a chart that shows you fund balance activity from FY20 through February of this year. Currently, as of the end of February, the total fund balance was just right around $9.6 million. In determining a funding recommendation for you guys to consider, we refer to our TIFI investment policy, which provides some guidelines for distribution. Those guidelines indicate that we want to look at the 20-quarter moving average value of the fund and multiply it by 3.5%. That will give us an annual earnings distribution guideline. Historically, then we double that because it's a two-year grant fund. So we calculated the projecting earning distributions based on the 20-quarter moving average as of March of this year, which was approximately $291,000 on an annual basis. So when doubled for the two-year cycle, it was just under $583,000. Also, the OCCC is recommending that in addition to the calculated amount of the projected earnings distributions, that approximately 25% of the annual credit access business contributions be allocated directly to the aggregate grant award. So to determine what this amount would be, we looked at the total number of credit access business licenses as at the end of April. There were 1,450. We know that each of those licensees pays $200 annually into the fund. So that's going to be an aggregate annual contribution from the industry at $290,000 for 1 year or $580,000 for 2 years. So we're recommending that approximately 25% of that 2 year projected contribution be added to our earnings distribution calculation. So what we are coming up with is our earnings calculation distribution of roughly $583,000 plus approximately $145,000 directly from licensee contributions to the fund. So based on that analysis, the OCC is recommending that the 2024-2025 aggregate grant award be set at $730,000. This is a substantial increase from the previous grant award, which was $409,000. And this decision was made by looking at several different possible forecasts for the endowment funds, the increased visibility and licensee usage of grant funds. It was made taking into account that several of our grant advisory committee members really felt that if a one-year award for a grant could at least pay somebody's salary to administer a fund for a nonprofit or for one of our eligible grantees, that would be kind of a good place to be in. And we've discussed this a few times over the last year or two. And in June of 2022, there was a decision, you know, the commission made a decision to try to increase that maximum grant award, which is currently only $40,000 for 2 years. And this change would allow a maximum amount of $45,000 for 1 year or $90,000 for 2 years. So did you have anything you want to add, Commissioner?
Yeah, I'm going to say that the commission made that decision to increase those amounts. We were already committed to a grant cycle, so this would be implementing that for the next grant cycle, but we need to raise the amount of the grant award, of course, to help support that. And so we think that this is a healthy, nice step forward to enable to grow and further support that grant program. So this is our current recommendation. And appreciate the commission's consideration and feedback on this.
Yeah. Any questions or comments?
No. I think it's a great move in the right direction.
Great.
Do you have enough applications? I mean, is that a process? There's no shortage of applicants.
We you know, two grant cycles ago, and y'all may remember, we didn't have enough applications and we had to extend it. But this last one, we had almost 30 applications and we only had funds available to award 11. Is that how many?
12
organizations. And so we've been doing a lot of outreach. And so I don't think that we're going to run into issues in the past like we have.
But as we discussed a year, you know, the last time, the quality of applications, even though we might get a lot of applications or we're getting more, you know, there's a certain segment that are more of your quality applications, and that quality starts to drop off at some point. So we can't, we wouldn't want to try to fund all 30, because I don't think that there's a...
I would agree with that. It's a balance. It's a balance of, do they have the capacity to be able to deliver, you know, quality financial education and counseling to areas that need it? And not all organizations can do that, and some can do it really well, and it's finding the right balance of who can and who can't, you know, out of what could be a, you know, 30 or so applications.
But it's a competitive process, and if it goes well, you know, and we continue to find more quality applicants, we could potentially grow it even further in 2 more years. So,
and I think that would be true, because if you get the grant amounts to a point where they are more helpful to the organization, you will tend to get a better, more people putting in for the grants themselves.
That echoes a lot of what some of our grant advisory committee members have said, you know, that it's a, they have a lot of stuff they have to fill out, and we expect them to be able to provide us data and backup for these funds that we're giving them. And so it's an investment of time of staff on their part. And so by being able to provide, you know, the salary of a person for a year to help them do that, I think will be a right move, and a move in the right direction.
The corpus should be increasing at a more rapid rate than it has been in the past, the current rate environment too. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have
some growth there too. Although the base of licensees contributing is sliding a little bit too, but hopefully that'll offset. So.
Okay, so if there are no other questions, then I would say that OCC requests that the Audit Committee recommend to the Finance Commission that the Finance Commission approve an aggregate award amount for the 2024-2025 TIF grant cycle of $730,000.
Right. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve an amount of $730,000 for the upcoming 2024-2025 grant cycle for the Texas Financial Education Endowment?
Motion.
Cliff McCauley, is there a second?
Second, Philip Holt.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. The motion passes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you. We will now move on to item H. Commissioner Retta, please give us your report.
Yes, Madam Chair. The report is brief. We're simply concluding that, as you may recall, this is the inaugural year for the mortgage grant fund. So we're concluding the first semiannual reporting and reimbursement period on June 30th. And 11 grantees will have until July 31st to submit the activity reports and reimbursement requests themselves. And that's the report.
Thank you, Commissioner Retta. The Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending will need to discuss item I in an executive session. It is 8:57 a.m. on June 16, 2023. At this time, the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission will go into closed session pursuant to Section 551076 and 551089 of the Texas Government Code. For the record, attending for the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending are Commissioner Retta, Director of Operations Antonio Antov, Information Resources Manager Xerxes Pascuar, and Assistant Attorney General Glenn Ines. The executive session will be held in the conference room, and we anticipate it to last about 20 minutes. 20 minutes, is that correct, Commissioner Retta?
That's correct.
Great. It is 9:27 a.m. on June 16, 2023, and the commission is now back in open session. No action was taken in closed session. However, we did have an additional Finance Commission member, Will Lucas, also participated in the closed session. So there being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned, and the time is 9:27 p.m. Thank you.
Thanks.
A.M. It is not p.m. It's been a long morning.
Yeah.